his host, nor friend with friend, nor will there be any recompense for the oath-keeper, or for the just man or the righteous. Instead, they will praise the evil-doer and his violent dealing. Established custom will be moulded by them, and respectful deference will cease to exist. And the evil-doer will hurt the worthy man, swearing oaths with twisted words. Envy, foul-spoken, foul-natured, rejoicing in evil, will be the companion of mankind, wretches that they are one and all. Hesiod, Works and Days. Ithaca. Fifth year of the reign of Agamemnon of Mycenae, 1289 BC. Three ragged lines of armed men are strung across the dusty clearing, rocky cliffs crowding in on both sides. The summer sun is beating down, glinting on bronze spearheads and helms. Inside boiled leather breastplates and helmets, 200 men are sweltering and restless, blinking away rivulets of sweat as they squint at the place where the enemy will appear. I'm standing on a rock, sword at the ready, perspiring as heavily as the men below me. We're in a ravine, the world shrunk to a narrow defile as we face the curved trail, straining our ears for the first signs of attack. The sky is vivid blue, the sun pitiless, the dust clogs the air. Eurybates, the king's herald, his Keryx, is with me, barking reminders down to the men. Straighten those lines, second rank, close up. Wait for the signal. Resentful eyes turn our way, but I'm the crown prince of Ithaca, and the men keep their mouths shut. Not long now, I call out, my voice level and calm. Hold your positions. Then Tullus hurtles round the bend before us, hollering, They're coming! There's too many of them! Fall back! Immediately the senior men echo his fear. Run! Run! They're on us! They shout, and within a few heartbeats our lines have disintegrated. About a third of the men have hurled away their shields, the ranks have broken, and they're all pelting down the ravine as fast as they can. Eurybates and I leap from our rock to be swept along with the tail, screaming orders amidst the hurly-burly, straining to look back over our shoulders for signs of our attackers through the dust cloud our flight has churned up. Move! I roar, or Ares will stick spears up your asses. Run! And now the pursuit is on us, roaring around the bend in the ravine, darkened outlines in the dust cloud shrieking like harpies, their size and menace magnified by the murk. Our men bellow in response and redouble their efforts to get away as lithe shapes close in on the hindmost. Then the first pursuer shrieks triumphantly and leaps onto Tullus's back, bearing him to earth in a billow of dust. Got you, Daddy! You're dead! Yells Tullus's son, Chemos, his arms around his father's neck. The other leading pursuers, the older sons of my soldiers, catch our hindmost runners, and those men touched, slapped, or indeed gang-tackled, are compelled to collapse on the ground, while the rest of the mob of boys, and a few girls, pour over them, screaming in delight. A few come after me. My mane of red hair makes me a mark, but I manage to dodge out of reach. I look left and right, assessing, and then... Now! I yell, and Eurybates echoes my call, his stentorian herald voice resounding through the ravine. This time, the lads nail it, and it's our 16th try at this, so they damn well better. The third rank at the head of the flight spin and drop, forming a line, spears down, shields up, and the second rank dart between them and fill the gaps, while those at the rear who've managed to stay clear of the horde of children, about half of them, hurdle both lines, and the spears come up. Stop! I holler, because I don't want any of the children running onto the spears.